Excuse me, Jim Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck will not be present. George McKee. Ted Leonard.
Here.
Dan Mayfield.
Here.
Barbara Doty.
Here.
Randall Kowalke.
Present.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Let's take a look at the agenda. Anything from the consent agenda? Seeing nothing. Oops, Mr. Moosey.
Yes, from the consent agenda, I would like to remove RS-18-005 completely from the agenda, not to be dealt with this evening. We may or may not come back.
AM?
Resolution.
Resolution.
Okay. Objection.
Any objection, some members? Seeing no objection, that removal is ordered, 18005. Is there any other thing on the agenda? Seeing none, the agenda is approved as amended with the removal. Pledge of Allegiance. Ms. Jamie Newman, would you please give us the honor of leading us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Any changes to the special meeting minutes of January 12th or the regular meeting minutes of January 16th? Any objection to the minutes as presented? Seeing none, the minutes are approved as presented. Let's do reports. City of Wasilla. Mayor Cottle.
Mayor Halter, Assembly Members. Bert Cottle, Mayor of City of Wasilla. I have just a couple items for everybody tonight. Starting this Thursday, running Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Menard Center is the championship 4A hockey tournament out there. That's going to start on Thursday at 10 a.m. and I'll go through Saturday with a championship game starting at 5 p.m. on Saturday. For anybody in the food business, please stock up on food. I don't want anybody to run out of food while they're here because we're expecting 300 to 500 participants out there and they're all going to be hungry, so please don't run out of food. Also on Saturday, this weekend from noon to 4 p.m., if none of you have ever been out there for the Alaska Military Youth Academy competition drill, please come out. It's something to witness. We'll have 170 some kids out there from Alaska Military Youth Academy performing their drill competition, and it makes everybody feel good. It makes everybody feel proud, and especially for those of you who may have served in the services, it's nice to see you out there because this will be the first time in 5 months some kids have two things. Number one is that they get to be around their parents if their parents can be there, and number two, this is the first time they get to eat junk food. So it's a big day for us out there too because they haven't had any sugar, no coffee in 5 months. So if you're hungry, eat before you go because you won't get any food out there. But like I said, it's a good program. It's a good thing for these kids. And if you can come out there and support it, that would be great. Also, all month this month at the library, we have blind date with a book. Must be at least 18 years of age to participate. For more information, go to the library website. But it's kind of neat. Basically, you check out a book. It's all covered up. You don't know what the book is. And you have to go home and read it for 20 minutes and then critique it and send in a critique sheet. And you're entered in for a prize. So it's kind of fun. So it's a blind date with a book. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Wallace, City of Palmer.
Evening, Mayor, Assembly Members, Nate Wallace, City Manager, City of Palmer. Just a quick update, what's on going on in the city, or has gone on in the city. As you all have seen last week, the winds were picked up quite a bit, and for Palmer, solid waste was the issue of the week. With the landfill closed for 4 days, it had a significant impact on how the city operates. We learned a lot of lessons. One is in communication with our residents for residential pickup. We got the word out late, so a lot of trash cans made it to the road before we could identify that we weren't going to be able to pick up that day. By day three, though, commercial pickup was an issue. Having no place to take that, and with some customers having multiple day pickup, we had to come up with a backup, which turned out to be the Muni in Anchorage. So again, many lessons learned for us from the city, as we've never experienced this before in the past. We really don't have a solution for residential pickup, because when the winds blow, it blows the garbage down the streets before we can get to it, even if we had a place to take it. So we're working through a process on how we can pick up trash for our residents on a different time and still be effective to pick up our commercial waste. And the end goal is to make sure that Palmer still has a healthy community. We don't have trash everywhere, and it doesn't become a health issue because trash either piles up or blows away. So more on that in the future. Knock on wood, when this happens again, Palmer will be a little bit more prepared to deal with a multi-day closer to landfill. And we understand the issues why the landfill has to close. Not complaining about that at all, but this seems that this one time was more significant than we've ever had in the past. Next Tuesday, on a lighter note, at the regular Palmer City Council meeting, we'll be honoring Linda Combs, a former council member and a very active member of our community, with the annual Golden Heart Lifetime Achievement Award. This award was established to honor members of the community that have exhibited kindness, passion, and unwavering pioneering spirit of Palmer, in which the City Council unanimously agreed to last month to award it to Linda. So that will be done next week at the regular City Council meeting. You're all involved. You're all invited to attend and to watch her receive her certificate along with cake and punch. And then finally, about 10 days ago, the Palmer Museum of History and Art held the latest, which is number 6 in their series of Untold Stories, which has been a popular event in the past few years, has grown each time they have it. And this time it drew over 130 folks to the Palmer Depot on a Sunday afternoon. It's a time for citizens to hear their neighbors and friends tell stories about the past or events that have influenced their lives. And the topic of this particular one was surviving. I'm happy to say one of your distinguished colleagues participated as one of the storytellers. But the reason I bring this up is that if you missed it, you still have an opportunity to listen, as you always do on Big Cabbage Radio, but also watch the video. There's a video available this time. We expect that to happen in the future. But what's interesting about this video system that's being used, it was funded in part by the City Council through a grant, along with other donors to make this system possible. It allows the system, the videos to be bookmarked. So if you don't want to listen to all 6 stories, you can jump to your colleague's story without having to, if you don't have enough time to listen to all 6 because they are interesting, but it allows you to jump through the video to a bookmark spot. So the next series happens April 15th. Mark your calendars. And basically that's it in a nutshell. I encourage you to go listen to that. Listen and watch, because you can see the antics of the storytellers as they go through their story. And it was a great event, and we expect that to continue through. So any questions?
I have a question. Who is in charge of the wind at the City of Palmer?
Since this is a borough-wide wind, I think it's probably not something we caused.
Whoever it is, fire them, okay? Thank you. All right. Do we have anybody from the school district? If not, we're going to have a little fun. I'd like Assemblymember Sykes and Assemblymember Kwalke to join me. We have a couple presentations to do. Ms. Sullivan, Mr. Penman, please come forward.
Come on up here.
I'm not going to read the whole letter for the audience and everybody listening. These letters are written by our Fish and Wildlife Commission to Ms. Sullivan and Mr. Hinman for all the work and all the efforts, all the things they've done to promote our salmon restoration in the Mat-Su Borough. And believe me, it's been years and years of work. And this letter is from the commission to both of them. And so we had them framed, so each one would have one for your office. And thank you very much. So.
Thank you very much.
And Assemblymember Sykes and Assemblymember Kwalke are on the commission too. So I know what you know. That was a great letter from the Fish and Wildlife Commission to her. It's really fun to have two borough employees recognized for all the work they do. So thank you and congratulations. Committee reports. Joint Assembly School Board Committee, Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're down to quarterly meetings now, so we do actually have more business to conduct when we do have a meeting, and it happened yesterday. So I would like to say that the school district open houses on their budget that is proposed, their draft budget, will happen on 4 occasions between 5:30 and 6:30 p.m. It's February 6th at Academy Charter, Wasilla High February 8th, Denina Elementary February 13th, and you don't even have to go to a location on February 15th because it'll be on Facebook Live. So the school district reports that the current draft budget is based on flat funding from last year from both the state and the borough, which they indicate is a $7.1 million deficit, and they have not yet made their request to either the state or the borough. On tomorrow's school board agenda, there's a proposal will be put forward for a bunch of bundled projects for a certificate of participation they're planning to ask for. And of course, it's just an idea at this point, but any land uses would have to go through the usual process, including a school site selection committee. Legislative update from the school board that it mainly focuses on their health care expenditures, which are, I believe, their second largest expenditure out of their budget. And they're looking for ways to pool or cooperate with others and change their current health insurance situation. The other thing that they're really focused on legislatively is the base student allocation. They hope that there's not going to be any changes this year. And there are two bills pending for early funding so that they can find out how much money they are likely to have before the end of the session. Those are HB 287 and SB 31. They do have still construction projects going on because of some projects have come in under bid. They have had a little bit of extra money. So the school district warehouse is going to be completed this next summer. There's going to be upgrades, continued window upgrades. The Middle Lakes Elementary is going to get some new flooring. HVAC is going to be added to Colony Middle School, and that was done through the State Department of Education. Palmer High School is going to get mechanical upgrades. Those bids are due on February 15th. Palmer High School will also get lockers. The good news there is there's 11 bids, which is a lot more than usual. Sioux Valley Siding has some money, but they're still looking for more to finish it. Macatance is going to get a play field. Of course, everybody knows about Wasilla and Palmer schools. And for Mr. Kowalki, Willow and Talkeetna covered ice rinks will be built and finished this summer. So that is the school board joint assembly report, and they will meet next in May.
Thank you. Are there any other public relations reports? Some members of staff? Seeing none, Mr. Moosey.
Yes, good evening. I have a few things, and then we have Mr. Brad Pickett, who will give you an annual appraisal report that put a lot of time and effort in. I think it'll be very eye-opening for the assembly and the public. So this Friday, the Mattsu Regional Medical Center is hosting a Heart Healthy Go Red event. It's from 5 to 6:30 in their main lobby, pretty good size. They'll have food. I heard they have some, at least one excellent and knowledgeable speaker at that event. I think they'll have maybe a couple more. So we encourage you to go. This is this Friday, 5 p.m. at Sioux Regional Medical Center, and they always put on a good show. Second thing I have is I like to do some introductions, and if my new friends could kind of stand up. So we have been working for probably a year and a half on our timber industry here in the Mattsu Borough, and we've been working really hard the last couple months. So I'd like to introduce two gentlemen from the Kiwi Nation, Mark Proctor, who's the Director of Supply and Operations, and also to Simon Strong, who's a Manager of Operations. They are from TPT International Company from New Zealand, part of this project. We have Eric Owen, who is owner and manager of Denali Timber Management. I have Charlie Nash, who many of you are familiar with. He is the owner of the Chijak Timber Sale. And then we have Justin Green from Alaska Demolition, who's already seems to be on board with this project. So we've made a lot of progress on this. We are not there yet. A little bit of negotiations going on and valuation, but hopefully within a month we'll be back with an agreement that the assembly can approve and move forward. It is my hope, and I think the numbers are there, that this operation will cover our entire annual budget cost of Port McKenzie. This will be the first time since I've been here we're able to do that, so it's good for us. The other thing about the timber that I think is very important is beetle kill is out there. We have not been able to manage our forest properly. So we need to do that at a minimum. As we know, the sockeye fire really kind of hit us hard a couple years ago, and timber management will prevent that sort of thing. Also earn income for the borough at Port McKenzie, but also provide decent jobs for our Valley residents, like Mr. Green is attempting to do with Alaska Demolition. So those guys are going to be back, they promised, and are going to negotiate really easy for us to give us the best deal ever. Guaranteed. Okay, thanks, fellas, for coming. The next item that I have is, public records. So there has, once a month, I've been directed to kind of tell you about public record requests. We seem to be pretty popular the last 3 months. So this month of January, I have 14 requests. We've collected just under $500 in fees. That is over and above what the normal six-hour standard that we do at gratis and no charge. We estimate our staff cost is about $1,200 for that effort. And then staff time hours law, which has to go and look and make sure that there is not any protected information, protected names, or Social Security. You know, they are in for about 24 hours of attorney's times on this. So we're open to the public, but it does take a cost and take staff time to do so. And every month I'll come back with this. The last thing that I have is we have Mr. Brad Pickett, who is here for 2018 property appraisal annual report.
Mayor Halter, Assembly Members, Mr. Moosey. I'm Brad Pickett, Borough Assessor. Good evening. Tonight I'm going to go through this report and kind of show you an overview of the assessment process and what we've seen this year and what we've done with values. This first slide is an overview of the assessment process. There's a few dates on there that are pretty important. First one is January 1. Every year we're tasked with valuing all taxable property as of January 1 of this year. The next one is the appeal period. It began on February 1st and it'll run through March 2nd. That's the opportunity for anyone who is not happy or has concerns with their value to get in contact with us, see if we can't figure out what's going on. And then from that point, if they're not happy with the resolution, they can file a formal appeal. Those formal appeals will be heard in the month of April. And then June 1st, we certify the roll. Here's a list of some of the stuff that we've accomplished throughout the year. I'm not going to go through everything, but you can see that it's a busy office. There's a lot of stuff going on. That top one is 6,862 deeds were processed. We did 7,543 address changes. It takes a lot of work to maintain the assessment roll. There's a lot going on with it. It's all of the property information, name and address, and anytime that property is transferred to exchange hands, we have to track that to make sure that we're valuing the property to the correct owner. This next slide is a breakdown of the all of the parcels, whether they're improved or vacant. Right now we have 78,011 parcels as of 2018. 44,964 of those are improved. 33,047 of them are vacant. There's still a lot of vacant land out there in the borough. This next slide kind of shows you how the makeup of that property is. What's the tax base? And there's something there at the top that's pretty important. And it says appraised value, and it's 12 billion plus. We increased this year by 3.68% in our tax roll. Now that is before we exempt any properties, but that is the assessment or the tax roll. We added $450 million to the roll this year. That's pretty significant. That was a big year. And it's broke down by residential, commercial, and vacant land. If you look at that, the bar on the left is the appraised value. The bar on the right is the assessed value. So that's after the exemptions have been taken into account. So you can see that the exemptions are a significant factor on the overall value. The assessed value is $9,520,000,000. So we're exempting about $3 billion.
Assemblymember Leonard, did you have a question?
Thank you, through the mayor. A couple of questions, Brad. One is the commercial
difference between assessed and appraised, that obviously doesn't include the disabled and the seniors. So what's the difference there in terms of the non-revenue properties?
A lot of that's going to be the public properties such as schools, borough property, state property. There's a significant amount of commercial property that is exempt in those categories.
And then second question, just to follow up, is trends from last year to this year?
And the exemptions?
No, just in general.
Okay. We increased our overall roll more than we did last year. We added quite a bit more new construction than we have in previous years, and those slides are coming up, so you'll see those numbers. We also made and it is in the presentation, so I'll get to that in a point of why we added so much more value. This next slide kind of gives you a breakdown on the exemptions. We didn't see a huge increase overall in the exemptions. They went up 1.26% from last year. So not significantly large overall. We did see a pretty big increase in the senior citizen disabled veteran program, but overall just 1.26% increase there. Here's our new construction. This gives you an idea of what we saw overall. It's broke up into three categories, single-family residential, multifamily, and commercial. And this year, if you add all three of those up, we added $211 million of new construction. And that's a pretty significant amount. If you look at that chart, we added more new residential single-family this year than we have over several of the past years. So it was a good year for new construction. There's the breakdown by units, so that actually shows you how many of each of those categories we did add. 779 residential structures were added this year, up from 659 last year, so a pretty good increase. Overall, we added 1,015 new structures to the roll. Now in this, I'm not including all the detached garages, all of that stuff. This is new houses. We do have cabins in there, but it's basically new houses, commercial buildings, multifamilies. There's other structures that were added that are not within this category, but that does capture the bulk of it. The average assessed value, as you can see, it's steadily been increasing. This year we had an increase of 2.68%. Something that's important with this average assessed value is not to get hung up on this 2.68%, because it means very little of what everybody's property may or may not have done. This is the average that we went up from last year on the assessed value. We saw increases this year on property, depending on the design type, the age of the property, whether anything happened to it or any changes were made, could have went up 1%. We also have some properties that went up 6% without any changes to them, just based on the sales for that design type or age type of property. So it's important to realize that if I say it went up 2.68%, that's not what most properties did. There's so many factors go into it. Every property is going to go up differently. So.
Mayor Kwaki.
Yeah, Brad, did I see 3.68 on an earlier slide? I'm confused. Did I look at
You did, Mr. Kwaki. The 3.68 is what the assessment roll went up. This is the average assessed value. The reason for the difference there is all of the new construction that we added had a pretty big impact on the overall assessment roll. Now, for those of you assembly members that are going to hear from your constituents, we do have some categories of property that took a larger increase than others.
I've got a question. The average assessed value for a home in Anchorage, what is that? Ours at 250, what is theirs at?
I don't have that with me, but typically they run about 100,000 higher than we do.
So they're getting that 350,000 range?
Yes.
Thanks.
And I don't have that exact number, but that's pretty consistent.
Senator McKee?
I was looking at a couple of weeks ago, and they said the average price of a residential home for the purpose of of computing the increase or the amount of bonded indebtedness was $200,000. It says $249,000. There's a big difference there.
And I can't speak to where that number you're referring to came from.
Actually, it's been documented in front of the Assembly every time we vote on a bond.
I think this question's out of it's $249,000 for this year. And it was $242,780 in 2017.
Okay, and back to Assembly members, if you're getting calls, we increased the basement square foot value this year. And so we're seeing in especially homes with daylight basements, I've seen a 5.88% increase with one person that contacted us today. So we can't go by this 2.68. We have some categories that saw more of an increase than others. The appeal process. This kind of gives you a breakdown over the last many years. And this is for 2017. We had 953 folks contacted us during the appeal process. 267 appeals were filed. We adjusted 553 properties during that time frame. And out of those 267 appeals that were filed, 42 of them went to the Board of Equalization to be heard by those folks. Six of those were adjusted. And of those six that were adjusted, they needed to be adjusted. Information was brought to the hearing that we didn't previously consider. So we actually called for a continuance of the hearing on four of those six and asked to go inspect the property. And when we got out there, everything that the appellant had provided was accurate. And so we ended up making adjustments to them. So I think overall it was a pretty good year. It's fairly consistent with what we've seen over the last several years. So far this year, as of today at 4 o'clock, we'd had 146 folks contact us in 4 days' time, and we've had one appeal filed as of today. So we're not really running any differently than we have over the last few years, but we got a ways to go. We've just begun. That's important to note on that slide in the bottom there, last year we changed our BOE hearings from in the evening to during business hours for two days of the week. We still held one evening hearing. We had very positive feedback from not just the BOE members, but from the appellants. It was easier for them to attend during the daytime. And we ended up not filling up those evening hearings like we thought we would. But what's really key is we reduced our staff overtime from 97.5 hours in 2016 to 12.5 in 2017. So not only did we save money, but the convenience was very important as well.
Now, on those appeals adjusted, did they always go down or did any of it go up?
All of them adjusted went down.
But they could go up?
They could go up. It's rare that that occurs, but yes, it can happen. This last slide is a few accomplishments. For those of you that remember my annual appraisal report last year, I had stated that we had just begun working with IT and GIS on some projects that were going to help us streamline work more efficiently. A couple of these accomplishments are due to those projects, and I want to kind of put in a good word for IT and GIS, because without them, we couldn't accomplish this. And they are changing the way we work, which they have to, because we have an added staff. So we've got to start working smarter and more efficiently. And some of these projects have really enabled us to do that. Last year, we got new imagery for 2017. We came up with a process to where we could identify on our aerial imagery if we had the value of that structure. We were able to identify 533 structures on that new imagery that we did not have on the tax roll. And before we sent the roll out, we were able to get 409 of those structures on this year's tax roll. The remainder, or the majority of the remainder, are remote properties that we weren't able to visit. That is significant. I mean, if you look at the numbers that we added in value, and this isn't revenue, this is equalizing that tax roll so that everybody is paying their fair share. A lot of these structures are in areas that if we didn't know they were there, we would have missed them. Currently, we drive the driveways. The way we try and find new construction is we're out there on the roads looking for it. And it's easy to miss. I mean, we have to move fairly quickly. We don't have enough staff to hit every driveway. This tool right here was significant this year. And I guess that's kind of a little bit of a plug that that imagery, it's important to fund it. This right here paid for it three times over what we added back to the tax roll. And it's not complete. We implemented 2 years ago an auditing process for our exemptions. It's something that we should always do. We removed many exemptions, but when we were all said and done with those folks getting with us, providing information, doing an administrative appeal, if it came to that, 43 of those were permanently removed from the tax roll. That's pretty significant. And that was the first year that we implemented this. It took us 2 years to get through the senior citizen disabled veteran exemption. There's about 6,000 of them. We've removed tentatively 43 as of right now for this year. So we've removed as many again this year. We're still in the process where they can appeal that to me. Many of them get put back on because they do provide us the information. But it's looking like it's going to be very similar this year. And you can see that the revenue that has added back to the tax roll is significant as well. We implemented a systematic workflow for our appraisers with a split merge process, just another method of us working smarter. Using IT's help, we implemented a workflow within our CAMA system, which is what we work out of. It's computer-assisted mass appraisal. And we're able to go in there and check a box and select a priority, and that identifies it on our appraiser's tax maps with an icon, and it color codes it, as well as it updates a spreadsheet nightly through an IT process. We have all of that new construction we identified with the aerial imagery, we did it through this process. It gives us accountability because we know when it's been assigned. We know when the appraiser's done it. So it's another way that we're working better. And again, with IT's help, and we could not have done it without their help. Something else we did, a couple years ago, we tried to move some legislation forward to promote full disclosure. It didn't pass. So we were looking for ways that we could add more sales to our database to where we can do a better job. So we have added historic sales. We've got sales going back at least 3 or 4 years now. And what we're doing with a lot of those sales is we're time adjusting them to bring them current, and we're using those in our analysis. So now instead of having, 1,500 sales, this year we analyzed 4,572 sales. It gives us a much better picture on properties that we don't get the sales for, the DLBs, the tri-levels, the 1.5 stories. We have enough sales to actually analyze it and feel good about what we're looking at. And it's going to keep the values to where they're going to be steadier. You're not going to see the ups and downs from not enough data that might give us a picture that's not accurate. So that was pretty significant too, is a big project. But I think moving forward, it's going to be worthwhile. Are there any questions?
Senator members? No, thank you very much. It's a great report. Appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor? I did have a question, actually.
Sykes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the report. I really appreciate it. I did have a couple of questions. One is if we could go back to the pie chart where you said that senior and retired military exemptions went up 1.2%. So do you see this as this sector of the pie growing and taking up more of the chart, or is it just consistent with everything else that's growing as an average?
No, it's not consistent. That program, the Senior Citizen Disabled Veteran Program, has been consistently growing at almost 8% a year, and this year will be probably pretty close to that. Exemptions are not due until April 30th, so I don't have hard numbers on where it's going to end up, but preliminary numbers show a pretty good growth in that area as well. And considering the growth of that one, and we're still only growing by 1.26% overall, the other categories are not growing near as significantly, no.
And a follow-up to that, it's a fairly frequent question I get, but I'd like to hear your answer, is if you, once a senior exemption is designated, you don't have to go back every year and refile for it. It's filed until something changes with the status of the property or the status of the owner?
That is correct, and that's in statute that you do not need to reapply unless the status changes.
Well, I thank you for apprising us of your efficiency, yet even before you had these efficiencies when I was building my house, I had appraisers visit me at least twice over the course of 2 years before I was even built, so they were efficient back then, too.
Thank you.
I have a question. So you, of all of these exemptions here, you got, if you add up municipal, native, charitable, community purposes, state of Alaska, federal, educational, and put those in one spot, that'd be a big chunk, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
It'd blow away senior exemptions.
It would.
Okay, thank you. I'd have to work on that municipal exemptions. Mayor Cottle. Let's see, Mr. Moosey, anything else? Mr. Spropolis, reports.
I guess to start with, you know, the appeals that we start to roll into with the tax assessments, you know, those are staffed by the borough attorney's office, so I'm sure Mrs. Ashenbrenner likes them being during the day as well, so that Mr. Ashenbrenner can go home at night. I know the manager spoke about Mr. Nash and the potential timber harvest permit. The two lawyers from my office that have been tasked with dealing with that are ready and available. We've been told up until now, hey, hang on, we don't really need you, so sounds like they'll get involved. The only reason I mention that is because if Mr. Ashenbrenner gets pulled away on tax assessment appeals, then it'll just be Ms. Beaudelet kind of working on that with the manager's office and the team. I know they've been talking for some time, but now the lawyers get involved, so we'll try and be as diligent as we can, but sometimes these things take time. And then with regards to the public records requests, I've been asked this question a couple of times. The state law in the state of Alaska is that while any requester gets 5 hours of free time in terms of search and copying time for administrative purposes, they pay, that you then, if you take more than that, you have to pay the extra. Time spent by attorneys for review and redaction, or the legal secretaries for, you know, helping do the redaction and organize the records, any discussions over the review, going over any privilege or confidential documents, that's not chargeable. That's considered privilege review time, and it's not chargeable under the law. So the hours, when the manager mentions, you know, the amount of time that my office is spending on these, that there is no charge to the requester for that. I wanted to make that clear, that that's just part of our operations. So, other than the mayor giving me a slight coronary today, I have nothing else to add.
No comment. Madam Clerk, do you have a report?
I do, Mr. Mayor. The clerk's report is in your red folder. On March 13th, there's a Joint Assembly Planning Committee, or excuse me, Joint Assembly School Board meeting that's scheduled, and it's the school district's spring break, and they've requested that that meeting be changed. We've ran into that a couple years in a row now, so I'm going to look at bringing in forward an ordinance to try to fix that issue. But if we could reschedule that meeting, and I would suggest April 3rd at 4 p.m. directly before our regular meeting.
Some members, April 3rd, 4 p.m., Madam Clerk?
4 p.m.
April 3rd, 4 p.m., any objection? See you none, schedule it, Madam Clerk.
And then also, Mr. Mayor, on the clerk's report, all the meetings in bold are the proposed budget meeting schedule.
What meeting are we moving to April 3rd?
We are moving the March 13th Joint Assembly School Board meeting.
Okay, so we've got on special meetings for budget, April 24th. Where is that one at?
I haven't scheduled those locations yet. I'm going to schedule public hearings in Palmer, Wasilla, and Willow.
Okay, same as usual. Okay. Thank you. Senator Doty?
Just for clarification, the length of time expected for the Tuesday, March 27th meeting, it's 10 a.m. I can't remember how long we usually spent on that, but it's not just 1 hour, I know.
I want to say last year was probably about 4.5 to 5 hours. Schedule? Are we good?
Are we good, everybody, with the schedule? I think so, Madam Clerk.
Okay, thank you very much, and that was it.
Does any assembly members have any comments on the citizen or other correspondence? Quite a list tonight. Seeing and hearing none, it is presented. Madam Clerk, please read our IM into the record.
IM 1815, reporting of conclusion of contract for bid number 17124B, Deniser Construction Incorporated, for the Trunk Road Extension South Phase 2 construction for the final contract amount of $2,103,593.53.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, IM is presented. We have no persons to be heard. We have now reached public hearings. If you wish to speak, we have a sign up, or you can sign up in the back of the room for each particular ordinance. You will have 3 minutes to testify. Madam Clerk, please read Ordinance 18005 for us.
An ordinance amending MSB 3.70 to establish sales tax exemption within service area number 36, Talkeetna Sewer and Water Service Area, so that only the first $1,000 of a sale is subject to the service area sales tax.
Thank you. We'll open a public hearing at this time. Do we have a sign-up list? I believe we do. And the clerks are coming forward with it. Okay. Roger Anderson. There you go. Come on forward and just state your name for the record. And looks like you'll have to turn on the mic.
Roger Anderson. I'm the owner of Air Service Alaska in Talkeetna. I appreciate the efforts you are doing to help our water and sewer system. I know that that debt was definitely a problem that needed to be taken care of. I do encourage you to look at this very closely. The original assumption that all we had was basically a tourism economy there is not necessarily true. The amount of money that has been invested in the airport in this last year, finally getting the improvements done, Talkeetna needs other sources of income other than just tourism. I came up here 4 years ago, started Air Service Alaska to bring a general aviation maintenance service here. The profit margin is very small, and it is not tied to tourism. The $1,000 cap on the tax allows me to be still competitive with my competitors that are not in the valley. Also, any new industry that comes in for that airport, not having that $1,000 cap on there would be very detrimental. So I appreciate your time, and I hope you'll look at this very closely. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Appreciate it. Driving all the way down here from Talkeetna. Okay, anybody else? That was our sign-up list. Anybody else wish to speak on this sales tax ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, I'll close the public hearing at this time. Senator Kwalke, would you go ahead and move it for us?
Yes, I move Ordinance 18-005, and I have an amendment.
Go ahead, please.
Madam Clerk, will you read the amendment?
I sure will. I move to amend Ordinance Serial 18-5 at the bottom of page 1 of the ordinance at MSB 3.70035A to add an additional clause at the end of Section A to prevent bundling of services whereby a large purchaser could buy services for 100 individuals, such as tours, in a single transaction and thus evade most of the tax. And what it will say at the end of that paragraph, Mr. Mayor and Assembly, is provide also, comma, that a single payment for the sale of the or the rendering of a service where the service is received by more than one individual shall be allocated pro rata to each individual receiving the service of the transaction, and the first 1,000 of the price allocated to each such individual shall be subject to sales tax. Excuse me.
A tongue twister. Okay. So we have an amendment by Senator McCaukey. You want to speak with it?
Just briefly. As I understand it, the law would require that those be broken up, but rather to create any confusion, particularly since the main motion is to put the cap on, to add a bit of clarity, and this was also a discussion from the Talkeetna Sewer and Water Board and a recommendation from them, and I think a timely one. I'd appreciate your support on this.
Okay, is there any objection to Senator McCaukey's amendment that was just read by Madam Clerk? Seeing and hearing none, the amendment passes. Did you want to speak on anything further on the ordinance, anybody? Senator McCaukey?
Yeah, I really appreciate Roger coming down. He and I have talked a couple of times about this, and of course, I'm a little embarrassed now, but the discussion we had the day we said, well, gee, when's the next time an auto dealership's going to open up in the sewer and water district, and we saw no need for a cap. And boy, were we wrong, and this will fix it. Again, I would appreciate your support.
Okay, anything further? Any objection to passage of this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, ordinance passes. Madam Clerk, 18007.
An ordinance amending and adopting various provisions of Borough Code to establish term limits for all borough boards and commission and provide an exception for reapportionment in case of necessity.
Okay, I'll open a public hearing at this time. It looks like we have a list coming forward. Okay, Sam Hansen. The mic's still on. Please state your name for the record. 3 minutes, please.
Hi, my name's Sam Hansen. I have a question before I start my 3 minutes. In your public packet under communications, I believe you received something from the RSA Advisory Board, a resolution, and it's not listed on this. Did you get a resolution regarding, you did.
Madam Clerk?
I think that meeting was in January, so I question if this is an old list for communications. It should have been on here, so. I just wanted to make sure you had it because it's not listed on here.
It's a resolution. Everybody have that resolution? It should be in their packet. All seven members have that resolution.
Yeah. Thank you. Good afternoon. Like I said, my name is Sam Hansen. I moved to the borough before it was organized in the 60s. My father, John D. Shaw, was your first borough attorney. I volunteered and served on the Wasilla Parks and Rec Board and Planning Commission for Mat-Su Crime Stoppers in the Mat-Su Sertoma Club. So I'm familiar with donating time and effort to our community. I'm here encouraging you to vote in favor of the ordinance for term limits. Term limits ensure that loyal workers remain active during their term, knowing that there's an end. Boards always struggle with how to manage inactive or disruptive members, and there's where term limits help out. Service on a board is a privilege and an honor, as well as hard, time-consuming work. You literally have hundreds of volunteers that currently work on your behalf to make your time on the assembly effective and responsive to your community. The current 32 boards and commissions being discussed tonight are all very well established, have history to refer to, and have budgets in place, making it easier for new appointments. Terms are also staggered to help new members get up to speed. The ordinance will allow the public, for the first time since it was established, the ability to apply to a board position that's been previously held by a long-term member. With the new wording, a member who has served two terms may be reappointed after 6 months by the mayor if there's no applications. States that the Mat-Su Borough has consistently reappointed board members which have not allowed those positions to become vacant. A Mat-Su resident can't apply for a position that's not vacant. Looking at the 32 boards and their memberships, this has been happening since 1991. regarding your boards and commissions in front of you tonight. There are 102 positions on these boards, not including the RSAs and the FSAs. The borough's area school site selection committee will not be affected. Enhanced 911 advisory board has one position affected. It's held by the city of Palmer. Emergency medical service board has three positions affected. Their service adds up to 21 years, and leaving 18 members on the board with seven needing to meet your quorum. Historical profession commission will not be affected. Local emergency planning commissions, three positions will be affected. Total of 31 years of service with those three positions, leaving 17 members on the board, needs 10 people for a quorum, so it should be okay. Your wastewater and septic advisory board has three positions affected, servicing 21 years of service. Your fish and wildlife commission has three positions, 25 years of service. So looking at your FSAs, they have a, is that it? That's it? Okay. Real important, the FSAs, their total budget $17.6 million. Your borough court asked them to hold quarterly meetings. Three of the eight FSAs met that qualification. There's a monthly executive FSA board meeting, but there's no information in your board minutes regarding this meeting. Four of the FSAs won't be affected. Three will be affected. They're your largest ones with $14.6 million in the budget. They are the most active when it comes to holding board meeting, quarterly meetings, and those nine positions add up to 95 years of experience.
Let's try to wrap up.
Okay. I want to mention Ken Slauson. He's been here since 86, 87, he says. You need to honor him, whether he's out on his own. He's going to retire at the end of this year. Those are the type of people you want to keep volunteering for you. Sounds like there's some issues with this. The same with RSAs. Only three of the 16 met your requirements for both for your meetings. I do want to. Sorry.
Try to wrap up. You know, I think we got the general gist, don't we?
You got the general gist of it. Okay. Okay. Term limits are not a new concept and are currently working with other boards with the MSB. I hope that you vote for them tonight. I'm surprised more people aren't here because it will affect a lot, and you will be able to bring them back in 6 months if they
Thank you.
Aren't filled. Thank you so Thank, much.
You're welcome. The only place term limits aren't working very well is Juneau. So. So that's all our sign-up list. Anybody else wish to speak on this ordinance? Term limits? Seeing and hearing none, I'll close the public hearing at this time. And Summer Doty, could you move this for us?
Certainly. I move to adopt ordinance number 18-007.
Do you want to speak on it?
I would. I appreciate the detailed information that we just received from the last speaker. And I think that we have matured to a point where there's a lot of new blood out there that might be able to give us a new insight. And the public process means that we allow people to participate. And the purpose of this is to be consistent across the board so everyone understands what's expected of them when they sign up for something. And also that there's an opportunity for new blood and changeover to have new ideas incorporated into the process. So I think it's a consistency that I'm looking for in this resolution.
Anyone else? Summer Clarkey?
Yes, with all due respect, I feel like this is another solution in search of a problem. Someone who represents 70% of the borough land, which where most human activity takes place someplace, it's to me a decapitation. We have a really tough time of finding people who will serve. And if we go about taking the corporate collective knowledge and throwing it aside for 6 months while we search in vain for someone who might be willing to take this thankless job on, those folks aren't being represented. And I vehemently oppose this ordinance.
Senator Leonard, then we'll come to, we'll get back to you. Consumer. Leonard, go ahead, please.
Yes, Mayor. I have actually a question for you. And since you're involved in appointing most of these people and dealing with the vacancy, is there an issue, as Assemblyman Kowalki is saying, about finding people to serve?
Well, I guess the clerks could jump in here, too. It seems like it can be. I think sometimes it's harder in the fire service areas and road service areas than you think to get people to come forward and want to step in those positions. And sometime when you get certain people in those positions, they, after a few years, they're very worthy. And so it takes a little growth. So I think it works both ways. I suppose down here in the core area, it might be a higher population and in a more dense area. It might be a little easier. So it kind of works both ways. But still a judgment call.
The last question I have is for Assemblyman Doty. To me, this is a balance of having people willing to serve versus being able to allow new people to be involved in the system. The issue I had with the ordinance and what I worry about is the six-month period. Whereas if we have someone willing to serve and we're keeping a seat open for that long, that's a worry I have with this.
Senator Doty, go ahead. I got to get back to Senator Mayfield. We'll be right back to you. Senator Doty.
So the 6 month was a discussion that I had with the borough attorney in terms of what's a reasonable period of time in which to leave something vacant before we open it up. I would be open to an amendment. But I think, as the previous speaker said, if you don't have a vacancy, you're not going to fill it at all. And so you have to have a vacancy in order to advertise it. I also would encourage the borough to consider a better marketing plan for these vacancies, because I think that we don't do as good a job as we could to make people aware that there's an opportunity, what the job description is and what the time commitment is. So it could be that part of our problem is we just don't make it very visible. I recognize what Assemblyperson Kowalki says, that sometimes we have difficulty filling these slots, and I think especially the RSAs and the FSAs have been seated by people for very long periods of time. The perception may be that there's never a vacancy, so why bother to run? So that's one of my concerns.
Senator Mayfield.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I attend most of the FSA and RSA meetings within my district, and you know, I always find that those people are very well versed in what their particular board or commission is involved with. The RSA folks know almost every road. They know their budgets. They know the issues. Same with the FSA, you know, they know all of the issues in regards to the fire service area. So I think it takes a certain expertise to serve on these committees, and certainly, you know, a new person could develop that expertise over time, but it takes years, literally. And so I agree with Mr. Assemblymember Kowalki in you know, you don't fix something that's not broke. I really don't feel that the system is broke. We have some good serving people, and I know for a fact that finding replacements is very, very difficult. So I just don't see the need to do this. I do think that we could do a better job of marketing those vacancies, and I think you know, direction to the manager at some point in time is probably appropriate to make sure that we do market vacancies within districts so that we can fill those vacancies. The ordinance in front of us does kind of have the 6 month period of time there where, you know, if we can't find a replacement, maybe we can go back with the old person if they want to serve again. I feel that that's too long. A month or two might be appropriate if this were to pass, but at this time I really don't feel that the ordinance is necessary. Thanks.
Senator Kowalki, then Senator Sykes, then Senator McKee.
Yeah, I know that we received a resolution from the big board, which is the RSA road boards. Also received a phone call from the Meadow Lakes area road board leader, Mr. Edwards, and had a lengthy talk with him. And regarding term limits, you know, I'm kind of one of these folks who actually votes, and I thought you could do some term limiting at the ballot box. But having said that, when these three-year terms end, and Charlie's been on the board for six terms, and somebody else wants to apply for it, the mayor gets that application. And the mayor has an opportunity to term limit people, and I think maybe a few of those people in the 3 years that I've been here have been term limited. So I don't know we need to codify this in a way that results in, and Dan and I share FSA. We both have an interest in the district, and I was just looking around that table of the people that we'll lose as a result of this, and it's frightening. We just have a COP for a new facility. I'm just really troubled by this.
Senator Sykes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Assemblymember Doty, for bringing this forward. I know it was coming forward, and I was originally very enthusiastic about it. I did have some reservations just because I think I have probably more community councils areas than anybody. That's some are able to recruit people, and others just don't have them, and they're very, very hard to find. I think the testimony that we had tonight was very interesting. I wasn't able to assimilate it all, but I'd be really interested in knowing what the effect would be on each of the boards before I'm willing to move forward with this. And if we do want to move forward with this, I would like to exempt Historical Preservation Commission and Fish and Wildlife Commission. There's reasons for each of these, but that's my feeling on it anyway. And I'll be happy to go into detail if I move these amendments.
Senator McKee.
I have a follow-up question.
No, there was not a motion. Senator McKee has called the question, Madam Clerk. Madam Clerk, what is calling the question?
Mr. Mayor, if you recognize somebody and they call the question, it means that they want to stop debate, and you got to go directly to a vote on stopping debate.
Okay, let's take a vote on stopping debate. Okay, give it for Madam Clerk.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out that the comment I think Mr. Sykes made incorrectly, this is not related to community councils, just so we know.
Okay, let's take a vote on whether to call a question and to vote on this made by Assemblymember McKee. Any objection? Got an objection, so go ahead and vote for the record, please.
Mr. Mayor, some people voted on call for the question, so I'm gonna reset it just in case. And we're voting on the main motion now.
We're voting on whether to stop debate and vote.
Oh, no, you had no objection.
Oh, no. Okay. She objected. Okay. Senator Doty did.
Okay. Then I was incorrect. I did not hear it.
So we are voting on
whether to stop the debate.
Thank you for clarifying, Mr. Mayor. And, Mr. Mayor, it did fail with Assemblymember Doty, Sykes, Leonard in favor, and opposed. McKee, Kowalki, and Mayfield in favor.
So it failed?
Yes.
Okay. On the any further debate? Senator Doty.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would be happy to consider a modification of the six-month point, but I also would like to point out that the argument that Mr. Mayfield made about expertise also applies to all of us sitting here in this position. We have term limits. If bringing on a new borough assembly member means that we are not functional because that new person doesn't have skills, I don't think that argument goes very far. because we all have term limits, and I think we're doing a pretty darn good job right now. So I just bring that point forward. I believe in term limits at the state level, at the federal level, at the local level, and this is an argument to be consistent across the board for the reason why term limits work, which is it allows the opportunity for the governing entity to continue to rebirth itself, to have good new ideas, to take the expertise of the senior members and inculcate the new members so that they have the ability to understand that. If we don't have a clear-cut vacancy that's not advertised well and not visible, no one's going to apply for that position for the seat that's been occupied for the last 20 years.
Okay, Senator McKee.
It seems to me that we do have term limits and that there is a specified time for that you can be on the board and then you have to be reappointed by the mayor. So that, in fact, we do have term limits. Okay, so I speak against the ordinance as we have before us. We have already.
Senator, let's go Senator Sykes, Senator Mayfield, back to Senator Doty, and then we're going to vote.
Okay. I would like to acknowledge Senator Doty's. I did say community councils, but all of these community councils had different areas, and within those areas there are FSAs and RSAs and boards of that type, and so that's what I was trying to get at. I guess I still would like to see how these are going to affect the boards, and so that's why I'm going to offer an amendment to remove Section 9 of the ordinance, which refers to the Fish and Wildlife Commission. We're basically engaged in an ongoing war.
Okay, so you made a motion.
Okay.
What's your exact motion, please?
To remove Section 9, okay, which would exempt the Fish and Wildlife Commission. And I'm aware of it, but it is as some member Leonard said, a balance between expertise and being able to get new people. And it's not a matter of 25 years of experience. It's more like 45 years. And we have a situation where we are dealing with federal government, state government, and a fishery organization that has a great deal of money that has not really allowed us to restore our fisheries in the valley, which 6 of the 14 streams of concern in the state are in the Susitna Basin. And so this expertise is just essential. It's essential now. I don't want to take a break from their expertise. We already do have one emeritus member, and we could restructure the board. So I would like to propose an amendment to exempt Section 9, the Fish and Wildlife Board. It's very different from all the other boards.
Okay. Any objection to Senator Sykes?
Yes.
Okay, so we have an objection. So go ahead and vote whether or not you want to exempt the Fish and Wildlife Commission from Ordinance 18007.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Sykes in support.
Okay, back to debate. Senator Mayfield, and then Senator Doty.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Assemblymember McKee. We do already have term limits. These folks need to reapply after 3 years. And in the past, we have replaced members who have wanted to continue, either through some partnership with the assembly member and the mayor, or just on the mayor's will. So we have a mechanism currently to replace members who may not be performing in what we term to be an adequate capacity already. So, you know, again, I just kind of have to return back to, let's not fix something that's not broke. Assemblymember Kowalki referred to the fact that, you know, if I looked around the FSA table at the last meeting, there would be one member who would not automatically be replaced. And all the rest of the members have already been there for a very long time. And they bring a lot of expertise. The same thing with the RSA board. And frankly, I would hate to lose that talent. If I look at the Fish Commission, Lordy, they those folks delve so much into the science of fish that I'd hate to lose the expertise of any of them. So I just don't think we should impose something that we may regret in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In all due respect, I'm not sure we know whether it's not broke or not, because we honestly haven't really looked at it. I would like to clarify the issue about term limits and the definition with through the attorney. What we're talking about is term limits that then require you to sit out for a period of time before you reapply. That is not what we have in place. So I'd like to get the attorney's opinion, please.
Mr. Spropoulos.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, as Assemblymember Doty said, the let me find in the ordinance here. My computer is not cooperating. So the current ordinance that applies to term limits that already exists for all the boards and commissions that have term limits already says in it that that you have to basically sit out for a period of one term. And so that rule, what this ordinance would do is just apply that rule across. I could find the site for you if I can get my computer to cooperate with me here.
No, I don't think that's necessary.
So speaking to what Assemblymember Doty is saying, you know, there is already a term limit rule in place that generally applies to boards and commissions. This would just simply make it apply to all boards and commissions. And the way that, because if you look at the way this ordinance is structured, what it's doing is these boards and commissions currently have exemptions from the general rule. And so this is removing those exemptions.
Senator Sykes, and then let's vote on this.
I'd like to move to postpone. And what I would like to see is move to postpone to time certain, our first meeting, March 6th. And what I would like to see is a list of all of the boards and commissions, their members, and how they would be affected by this proposal. Because I thought we got a very good presentation at the beginning, and I want to digest that. I want to understand it.
Okay, we have a motion to postpone time certain. Okay, we got an objection. So there's an objection. The motion, what was the date we were moving it to now?
March 6th.
Okay. So let's go ahead and vote on the record.
Mr. Mayor, it is a tie vote. Let me get it down real quick, please.
Do I get to vote?
You can if you want to.
Oh, boy, I'm ready for this. I'm going to vote no.
Okay. It has failed, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Mr. Spropoulos, did I vote wrong?
My computer woke up. So I need to clarify, you don't have to sit out. The current ordinance does not say you have to sit out for an entire full term. You have to sit out for 1 year.
That's significant. 1 year. Everybody understand that? Okay. I'll just say a few words and then you can vote on this. You know, I kind of understand term limits. We have it for the Assembly, the Mayor. This bottom-down term limits, I'm a little skeptical on that. I guess the clerks and I could get together. Apparently now if we have somebody, applying after 3 years, it's not published is my understanding. We could...
Mr. Mayor, we do run an ad, if I could, once a month. However, if a position's vacant and the current member applies for it, it never hits the advertisement.
So we could adjust that, though.
Depending on when you start appointing
right.
them.
Yeah. So it gets to be a little bit hectic in the clerk's office. And so just vote your conscience on this ordinance 18007 and any objection to passage. As 18, we have objections all over the place, so go ahead and put your vote on the record.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Doty in favor.
Okay, thank you. I'm just going to move right through this because we have an executive session tonight. We have reached audience participation. This is the audience's chance to speak to the Assembly on any subject they wish for 3 minutes. Please come forward. I don't know if we have a sign-up. We have no sign-up list.
The New Zealanders want to address the assembly on anything. I see you all got real healthy suntans. We all look anemic, but welcome. So, Ms. Snyder?
Yes. Terry Snyder, Palmer. Some time ago, I talked about the mayor and the manager. I'm going to put my AARP hat on tonight and tell you again that we would help partner having a volunteer fair. You have a very successful transportation fair, and I hear from nonprofits all over about the need to fill boards or their own boards. And I think we could do a very cooperative thing. You have some vacancies. I think, Mr. Mayor, you've done a really good job this term getting those boards filled, a lot better than I've seen in the past. But I think people just need to know. And I think if you give them an opportunity to come and you have somebody there that represents those commissions and talk to them, you'll lure some people here. So I applaud what Assemblywoman Doty tried to do here tonight, because you do need fresh eyes. But I think we should give it a throw and try to open it up to the public and get some more people aware of kind of picking up what she said a little out there, that it's possible for people to serve their community. So thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else on audience participation? Come on forward. We'll take one at a time.
I'll talk fast.
Okay.
Sam Hanson, 3 minutes, right? There are 16 RSAs with a total budget of $18 million. They are asked by the Metro Borough Code to hold quarterly meetings. Only three of the 16 RSAs met that request. Meetings were not held on the RSA Advisory Board in February, July, August, September, and Kinnick RSA number 17 in October 11, 17 minutes said, the local RSA service area board has not met for 3 months due to a lack of quorum. Some board members are questioning the efficiency of the big board. There is an RSA primary supervisory task force mentioned by Dan on November 2nd in this 2016 assembly meeting. It was created to assist the RSAs. I don't see anything in the notes in the meetings for the 2017 board regarding this, so I'm not sure what's going on with it. Only nine of the RSAs will not be affected by this ordinance. Seven will. Midway, Bogard, Meadow Lakes held a total of one quarterly board meeting between them in 2017. They're the largest RSAs affected by this, with a budget over $5.2 million. Meadow Lakes is the chair. Bogard is the vice chair of the RSA Advisory Board. They have 21 years of experience between them. They lack the quarterly meetings and missed four monthly meetings for the RSA Advisory Board. This does not support the thought process that a 7-plus year volunteer can produce effectiveness. FSAs, they have a $17.9 billion budget. Three of the eight met your quarterly meeting qualifications. There's a monthly executive FSA meeting, which is not reflected anywhere for the executives. Four of the FSAs will not be affected. Three of the four are the largest, with over $14.7 million in your budget. They are the most affected, and when it comes to holding quarterly meetings, and nine of the positions will be affected that have 95 years of experience. They also hold the greatest access to volunteers because of their size. Central Mat-Su Fire Station is not only the borough's largest emergency service provider, but has surpassed Fairbanks as the second largest in the state. At one of their meetings, Ken Slauson said that he's been serving since 1986 to 1987, and that it's been an honor and a pleasure of being the chairman of the board. He mentioned that his board term ends December of 2018 and would like to find someone to replace him. I don't know Ken personally, but after reading through all of the 2017 minutes from Central, Mat-Su Central FSA, I can tell you that he's provided guidance, support, concern, and grace to our FSAs. That service should not go unnoticed if this ordinance is approved, or when he retires at the end of 2018, consider tapping individuals like Ken who could contribute to helping you with your RSAs. It sounds like there's a problem.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in audience participation? Sir, come on forward. State your name for the record.
My name is Joseph Davis, and for the record, I'm the Glacier View Community Council president, but I'm not here on that capacity. One of my hobbies is science, and I've been studying for a couple of years electrostatic precipitation. You change the charge on a particle in the air and it drops out. I happen to be around some interesting people in Italy, and they talked about how the Swiss are cleaning out their chimneys with just a DC charge and a wire. It's a publicly available stack robber that drops the particles out up to 99%. It's very economical. And I just spoke to the sales rep tonight, a few hours earlier, about the Fairbanks test project. And they're working with a stack arrestor that will effectively remove 95, 98, 99% of the particles of wood smoke or coal smoke. So I gave this information to Mr. Sykes, and we've been confabbing about what the possibility of a test project in the Butte would be to vastly reduce the amount of particulate matter very easily. So just wanted to let you know that that's going on, and I'll keep doing it because it seems like a good thing to pursue. I had been pursuing it for my own house, but then Jim told me about the Butte. It seems like there might be a possible pilot program here. I talked to the sales rep from Boston who's visiting the Fairbanks project. That's it. Thank you.
How much do they cost?
Well, they cost $2,000, and they take a bit of electric current, and then you dump out a box of ashes every once in a while. There is the actual practical project going on right now with the Clean Air Group in Fairbanks. I'm in contact with them. And pretty doggone exciting.
Thank you.
Just end it. It doesn't end the CO2 or the moisture, but all the particular, or 99% of the particulate matter.
Thank you.
So, can't ask hurt. Jim. He knows my number.
Okay, anybody else on audience participation? Seeing none, we'll close audience participation. Madam Clerk, please read the consent agenda to the record.
Resolution 18-1, a resolution declaring Buffalo Mine Soapstone Community Council inactive.
So 1805 was removed, right?
Yes, 18-5 was removed. AM 1810, waiving the borough clerk from MSB 2.52210. AM 1811, authorizing the borough manager to enter into a material sale contract with Anchorage Sand and Gravel Company Incorporated for the central landfill new construction and demolition cell material cell, MSB 007049.
Senator Kwalke, would you move the consent agenda?
Yes, I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Any objection? Seeing and hearing none, the consent agenda is approved. There's no unfinished business. We have no vetoes. There are no introductions. Vacancy report. Senator Kwalke, please.
I move to approve the mayor's confirmation up for confirmations as follows. Agriculture Advisory Board, Brandon Vanderwill. Board of Equalization, Jeremy Millen, Tracy Berickman. Borough Area School Site Selection Committee, Mary Anderson. Emergency Medical Services Board, Nathan Durbin. Justin Ortolano, resignation of Russell Johnston. Health and Social Services Board, Curtis Harvey, Brian Galloway. Historical Preservation Commission, Fran Seeger Boss, Jake Anders. Local Emergency Planning Committee, Glenn Belden. MSB Fish and Wildlife Commission, Bruce Knowles. Office of Administrative Hearings, Scott Sterling. Platting Board, Jordan Rosa. Port Commission, Claudia Roberts. Transportation Advisory Board, Cindy Bettini, Jennifer Tu. Joshua Cross, Westlake FSA number 136, Ray Arno, Alpine RSA number 31, George Rauscher, Greater Willow Area RSA number 20, William Dale, Kinnick RSA number 17, Kimberly Brawa, I believe so it's pronounced. Thank you.
Thank you. Any objection to the vacancy report? Seeing and hearing none, it's approved. There's no new business, no referrals, no reconsiderations. Executive session. Let's do comments after we come on to executive session. Would that be okay? Is that okay with everybody? We're just going to move to executive session. Mr. Kwalke?
I move to enter into executive session for matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be kept confidential and to discuss matters involving consideration of borough records that by law are not subject to public disclosure and discussion of matters subject to attorney-client privilege, in particular to discuss potential litigation before the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission regarding AKLNG. Those present in the executive session will be the mayor, the assembly, the manager, the attorney, the clerk, James Wilson, and Patty Sullivan.
Okay, and just for the record, the borough manager and myself added Patty Sullivan. I don't know if the borough attorney has objection or not. Apparently not. Slight objection, okay? Do you want to speak? You want to talk on it? Speak on it?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of the assembly, the executive session is generally confined to people that are in what's called the control group, that is the decision-making process. So I know the mayor was asking to have Ms. Sullivan included. That would be a little bit unusual. I don't know what her participation would be. And that was my concern.
Okay. Some members, well, Mr. Moosey asked first. I agreed with Mr. Moosey. She would not be participating, but she would be, she's our chief public relations officer. And some members, any objection? Senator McKee, do you have an objection?
I have a question on this. Do we have litigation? Otherwise, I'm going to object to executive session. I believe it ought to be out here in the open.
I believe we have litigation. Mr. Spropoulos, answer that, please.
I don't think it's any secret. Actually, it's in the public document. The borough, a couple weeks ago, filed a motion to intervene before the Federal Regulatory Energy Commission regarding the Alaska LNG project and selection of alternatives. Discussion tonight will be focusing on that litigation and updates, potential strategies, direction to the attorney on paths forward and strategy regarding potential scenarios in terms of the litigation before the Regulatory Commission.
Yeah, I think that issue is quite clear. Any on Ms. Sullivan, that's all I want to know about right now. Mr. Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple of concerns. Well, just basically one overriding concern. In executive session, typically those are confidential discussions. Patty's our media person, and I suppose that I really don't see any purpose for her to be in the room because she's not going to be publicizing our discussion.
Okay, well, we'll shorten this up and we will exclude Ms. Sullivan. And we'll, any objection? Okay, otherwise we'll retire to executive session. Time is 7:30 p.m. We're retiring executive session.